Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, May 23rd, 2015. This is episode 1189. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones, home theater. Our home theater guru, Scott Wilkinson, joins us in about half an hour. Smartwatches, got those? All right, we got to do the smartwatch salute. I'm wearing the Android Wear this time. I can't decide. The truth is, there's not much to decide between them. You know, it's like Windows versus Mac. It's a matter of personal taste, I guess, at this point. Android versus iPhone. I'm a little baffled by the number of people who use iPhones. I feel like Android has eclipsed iPhone, but you know, you use it, right, Heather? I mean, I can't. You make a face at me, but I can't. It's a personal decision.
Love the iPhone.
But that's the point, right? You get your personal choice, and the having the choice is what's great about this. You don't have to use what everybody else uses. In fact, it's pretty clear. I mean, I would say in the U.S. it's about 50-50. Half iPhone, half Android. Although here in the San Francisco Bay Area, that's all you see is iPhones. You know, I'm an outlier. I'm a weirdo when I wear my Android Wear watch and my Samsung Galaxy S6. I'm a weird person. But, you know, in the rest of the country, it's 50-50. And around the world, it's not close. Of course, that's because Android offers some very inexpensive alternatives. And I think that's a lot of... did you hear that? See, now they know I'm a Mac guy. The big Mac bong went off as I started up my computer. So that's what's interesting these days. You get to use what you want to use. We just got that new MacBook. Boy, it's funny how that has stimulated a lot of negative press. It's including from the folks who are massive Mac fans. One of the guy who created it, he was an early programmer at Tumblr. He created Instapaper. He's worked on a podcast app called Overcast, and he's kind of revered I heard you. Once was enough. Thank you. He's kind of revered in the Macintosh world as a, you know, one of the leaders, one of the thought leaders in the Macintosh, Marco Arment. And Marco just wrote a piece and saying, I hate this MacBook. I just sent it back. Ah, that's interesting. I actually thought it was pretty cool. It's light, 2 pounds, really thin. It kind of looks like an iPad. But he didn't like a couple of things. One, he felt like it was too slow. Now, maybe his needs are different, and that's the point of choice, right? He wanted something a little faster. He also didn't like the keyboard. He felt like it was too shallow. And I can understand that. It's a little hard to get used to. It's hard to type accurately if you don't have... Because it's so thin, the keys you can't press them all the way down. So, but I'll give you a review. I'm going to give it some time. I'll give a review in a week or so. But so far, it's pretty amazing. It's so thin. One connector, you know, people go, that's very upsetting. It's only got one port on it. Well, it's actually got two. One for headphone, microphone, and one for power, USB, video, everything, all coming out of one port on the side there. I think it's pretty sweet, actually. I like it. But that's the point. You got the choice, you know? And even Apple doesn't say you have to have a MacBook. They have a different variety of the MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs, and so you have choice. You're going to have, it looks like, some real choice in iPads, too. The rumor is strong that they will announce in June. June is the big Apple Developers Conference, WWDC. They'll announce a new 12.9-inch iPad that's actually bigger than the MacBook with a pressure sensitivity and stuff. You know, you have choice. If Apple Watch or an Android Wear watch or no watch at all or watch the Timex, whatever, you have the choice. People get so angry if you choose differently from them. And the geeks do. In certain forums, you go on Twitter, people yell at you. What are you doing choosing an Android phone? My friend Andy Inako, who is a Mac, you know, Mac fan. He hosts our Mac Break Weekly show, and he's a writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, quite famous for his, you know, Macintosh coverage. Chose an Android phone a couple of years ago, maybe. People were furious. Like, he had a traitor to the cause. It's like you switched from the Yankees to the Red Sox. It's just, it's unheard of. And it's about as important, frankly. Yankees, Red Sox, it's just baseball. iPhone, and it's all a smartphone. So choose what you like. Choose what you like. What else happened this week? Oh, Adult Friend Finder. It's hard not to laugh at this. It's a dating site, but I'll put the dating in air quotes. It's a dating site. It's really a play. You know, I know about it because every time I go on websites, I think even Facebook, it says, beautiful women in Petaluma, where I live, want to meet you. I think, yeah, right. Adult Friend Finder. Even the name kind of, you know, it sounds a little seedy. Their database, now this is scaring some people across the world. Their database, which has 63 million users, apparently very popular, was hacked. And something like 9 million of those records were leaked with name, address, phone number, email. Oh, boy. Oh, man. The hackers are going to have some fun with this one. I think in this case it's not even for money. They're just going to have fun. I bet they could actually, if you were really mean, blackmail people with this one. So if you're on Adult Friend Finder, time to start thinking of some excuses. Well, I was for research, honey. I heard there were beautiful women in Petaluma looking for me, and I just wanted to find out who. That's all. That's it. We're going to watch with interest what happens when the Senate comes back from its Memorial Day. By the way, it's Memorial Day weekend. I don't want to say happy Memorial Day weekend because we're remembering our fallen. So it's not a happy holiday. And yet it's a 3-day weekend and people think barbecues and, you know, I could start wearing white shoes again. And so it's very confusing. But a salute, a tip of the hat, a solemn salute to those who gave their all in service of this country. And we remember them on this weekend, along with a barbecue. But the Memorial Day, I started to explain what I was going to talk about, and now I forgot. I got sidetracked with Memorial Day weekend. Oh, yeah, the Senate. <They're>, oh, them. How easily we forget those folks in Washington. What do they do? They managed not to vote. The House had approved a bill, I think a wonderful bill, blocking the mass collection of phone records, which, by the way, a court has recently deemed illegal by the National Spy Administration. And the Senate needed to approve it to make it law. They couldn't manage, couldn't do it. Now, how do we balance national security and your privacy, they said. But on the other hand, they didn't renew the Patriot Act either. So they're going to come back for like one day. And we'll just be watching with great interest. We want a prediction? They'll extend the Patriot Act. Of course they will. Because you don't want to be the guy who then there's a terrorist action a week later who said, oh, we shouldn't spy on our citizens because what if, and then something bad happens. Then you say, yeah, see, I blew it. But maybe take a stand. Maybe take a stand saying, you know, there hasn't been any evidence at all that this kind of mass spying on Americans does anything to protect our safety. And it certainly impinges on our privacy. Maybe we should rethink this thing. Maybe we overreacted, understandably, in the wake of 9/11. It was a terrifying time. But maybe now, here we are, 15, 14 years later, maybe it's time to say, well, step back and think. Does this accomplish anything? And what is the high cost? Be interested to see. When they come back, we'll find out. All right, now it's time. Have a meaningful Memorial Day. Thank you. UJ in the chat room says, say have a meaningful one. I like that. Time to get to your calls. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Heather Hummann is here. Always dresses so nicely for the show. You understand it's radio, yes? But I think that you're one of those people who just cares about her appearance. Unlike me, I couldn't care less.
Oh, come on, you do too. You're quite dapper.
Did you watch David Letterman's last episode?
I did not.
Our friend Steve Martin was part of the top 10 list.
That's right.
Yeah. It's really... Steve is royalty now, right? He gets invited. He was like the monologue at Saturday Night Live's 40th anniversary. He's royalty. Mm-hmm. And so you see him in all the... I wonder how that feels to be royalty. I'll never know. I'll never know. I'm the court jester. I sit here in my funny shirts and
he doesn't seem to feel it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. He's a cool dude.
He's the anti-TV yeah. guy.
But did you were you a Letterman fan?
Not so much. I just didn't stay up and watch it.
I have this conception in my mind, and maybe it comes from my wife, but that certain things are for guys, are guy humor. Like the Three Stooges, guy humor. David Letterman, guy humor. Bob Dylan, guy music. Bruce Springsteen, guy music. She just has that's guy music. Of course, I think the same thing, Beyonce, that's chick music. So, I don't know. I feel like Letterman might be a little bit on the guy humor side.
Doing guy.
I don't know.
Well, I really think appreciated the quirkiness, you know, Larry Bud Melman and all
yeah,
that
he was
stuff.
He was a refreshing alternative to the celebrity worship that was, you know, part of the Tonight Show. So it was fun.
Yeah.
I'm sad, but partly I'm sad because it means I'm getting old. He's doing that show for 33 years. And when you hear that, do you know that it was 22 years ago that the battle over who would take over from Johnny, whether it was Leno or Letterman, that was 22 years ago.
Oh, my God.
My kids are going, well, of course it was. That was before I was born. That was ancient history. But me, I remember that because yesterday. Anyway, we should probably take some calls and talk about technology because that's what this show is about, is technology.
Yeah, I don't have any TV calls lined up just yet.
That's okay.
Anyway.
That's okay. You know, there's a price to be paid for being a one-dimensional kind of – there's good and there's bad. When you're a general talk show host, you can talk about anything. It's kind of wide open. It's kind of scary. It's kind of risky. When you're focused on, you know, sports or home improvement or, in my case, technology – It's a little, be honest, it's a little easier to make it. I could never make it. I tried and tried to make it as a just talk about anything kind of guy. Never got anywhere. The minute I said, let's talk about, this was 1992, let's talk about computers, I was one of the only people doing it. The competition, you reduced the competition. So I should probably stick to my knitting, as they say. It's not a knitting show. Don't get confused here.
How about we call you the Letterman of Tech, though? Now you've got some.
That's okay. I'll take it. I'll take it. There's only one of us. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. Did I mention techguylabs.com? That's the website. Free and open and no sign up. We don't want your email address. You can keep that. But everything is there so you don't have to. So as you're listening, as you drive down the road, and I know many of you are, you do not have to write anything down. We write it down for you. You know what we should do on the website is like put our show notes on like stray bits of napkin, the inside of matchbooks, that kind of thing. So it would feel like something you had written down that you'd look at that and go, yeah, I remember that. Instead of all clean and pristine and typeset and all that. Those aren't show notes. Show notes should be on the back of a soggy napkin.
A little more. Gosh darn it, I can't even read my own handwriting style.
Let's do a web design. Yeah, like the last few letters of the website are kind of blurry.
Because you spilled your drink
on it. You spilled your margarita on it. That's how we should do the website. We are, you know, we're redesigning the podcast website. Ooh. That is, do not ever do that. That is a nightmare. And the sad thing nowadays is when you redesign a website, it's only good for a couple of years. You have to redesign all the time. So you're stuck with it for those few years. And if it's really ugly, you're kind of like, you spent a lot of money. It's like deciding to paint your house pumpkin. It could work, but then again, the neighbors might rebel, and it's hard to know. So we're going to, in about a week, we will show you the new website. And I'm very, you know, we kind of painted it pumpkin. Don't make that face of me.
I'm a little nervous.
I like the blue.
Oh, no, the blue's good. Blue is very, blue is like real 2012.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Blue is, Facebook's blue, right?
It is.
Facebook's kind of stuck. They can't do a massive redesign. But they, don't you feel like they can, maybe they could benefit? There's a lot of different fonts and sizes, and it's kind of ugly blue, and it's kind of an ugly site. It's very utilitarian, I guess. See, times change. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. Do you have a call for me?
Pumpkin, huh?
Well, kind of a purpley pumpkin.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. It's actually basically white. The new thing is very, everybody, the new websites are clean.
Clean, I was going to say.
Simple. Yeah. With simple fonts, lots of space, big text. The text might be a little too big. Looks like my weekly reader. It's a little bit like, oh, this site is for people who have a hard time reading websites, so we're going to make it simple. We have a, you know, the big debate, whether to have a hamburger or not. Do you know what a hamburger is?
No.
See this all the time. I think it might be Facebook that first did it on mobile. It's the three or four lines, usually three. That's why they call it a hamburger, buns with the meat in the middle. Three lines that mean there's a menu here. There's more here. And there's huge, this is exact example of how painful a site redesign is. Huge debate back and forth over whether you should use a hamburger or not. Do people know? All the research shows people don't know what that is. They don't click on it. It's just a thing floating there. And yet it's a standard everywhere. Everybody, Windows 10, this is a huge debate. Windows 10 is using the hamburger, and people are aghast. Aghast. There's the little three-line menu is there. So we did. I did probably the not-so-courageous thing. On when the site is on a page, on a desktop, it says more, dot, dot, dot. You know what that means, right? Click, I hope, more, yeah. Dot, dot, dot. That means click here, and you'll get more, and the menu slides out. But then when it's on a smaller screen, it's got the hamburger. Does that got seem it. Reasonable? There's not enough room to have more, to dot, dot, dot. Yeah. Get used to it's not what you want. You don't want, you know, that's pumpkin. That's a pumpkin. Oh, then they'll get used to it. It's an eyesore, but they'll get you. No. What you want is they go, oh, beautiful. I understand exactly how that works. All right. I should take a call, but I think I've used up all the time left. So this is another thing that happens in radio. I'm in a funny mood, aren't I? I'm in an odd mood. It's a very, if you're a talk show host, when you have, as I do, 45 seconds left, you can't really take a call, and yet you don't have enough to talk about for 45 seconds. You're right in the, it's the adolescence of a talk show. You're neither young nor old. You're in, stuck in the middle. All right. And as I fill this time, I think it is appropriate to say thank you, Heather Hammond, for your contribution. Please tell those people on hold. We'll get to you. Honest, Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Guru, is coming up. Leo Laporte, the Gabby tech guy. That could be, that's good. The Gabby tech guy. That's the new one. You don't like the EP3? Yeah. I think we probably have one on the way, Dr. Mom. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Right now, time for our home theater guru, Scott Wilkinson. He does the Home Theater Geeks podcast every, what day? Wednesday? Thursday now.
Thursday.
Every Thursday at, yep. I'm going to guess, 2 p.m. Pacific?
That's correct.
5 p.m. Eastern time.
You win.
2100 UTC, that would be my guess. Yes. It's great if you're into home theater. That is an hour and a half. You'll never get back again. No, it's a wonderful show. It's a wonderful show.
If you're into home theater,
everything.
You won't mind getting rid of that hour.
In fact, this week you do it. What are you talking about again on Thursday? I forgot now. What did you talk about?
This coming Thursday, I'm going to have on Jim Hellman, who is the CTO, the Chief Technical Officer of Movie Labs.
Ooh.
But he is also involved in the standardization process of high dynamic range. And we've talked about that on the show here a number of times, and I'm a really, really strong fan of this thing called high dynamic range, which expands the difference between the lowest black and the brightest white. And it really gives the picture a punch. It makes it pop. And can I use any more P's to describe how it really improves the picture tremendously, tremendously. And it's going to be a part, it isn't yet, but it's going to be a part of Ultra HD. We now have Ultra HD TVs, which are have more pixels. They have four times the number of pixels of HD. But you don't really see the benefit of that unless you're sitting really close or unless you have a really big screen. But when you have high dynamic range, when you have deeper blacks.
Oh, my gosh. Now, here's another interesting story. You can have great blacks and high dynamic range, but if you don't have any audio, you got nothing. And something seems to have happened to Scott. He's frozen solid. It was great, too. I was really getting into it. I was listening. I'm sorry, Scott. I don't know.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened.
You just... You froze in mid-sentence.
As I was saying.
Okay. Somebody whap him on the head there. Okay.
As I was saying, the fact that what we will get at some point is what's called high dynamic range. We'll get content that has deeper blacks and brighter whites, and we'll have displays that can display that. You can see the difference, the improvement, I should say, from across the room. You don't have to sit close to the screen. It doesn't have to be a giant screen like when you have more pixels.
I almost let me just interrupt you.
Yes, please.
Does anybody really care? I mean, I know I know you guys do because, you know, this is your business and you pay attention.
Yeah.
I think most of us just want to sit down, turn on the TV.
Sure.
And it looks good. I mean, I look, HD does look a lot better than the old, you know, I Love Lucy.
Standard def.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's in color, which is, you know, a real plus.
That's a good thing.
I think we're getting to the point where it's kind of like the refinements, the improvements are smaller and smaller, right? There was a big jump from SD to HD.
Yeah.
I think most of us are sitting in our, you know, living room with 55-inch TV or something. And that looks pretty darn good. I think I'm right because I know there's trouble in the television industry. Mm. They can't get people to buy new TVs because they're happy.
Because I'm happy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So so sometimes I feel like, and 3D was definitely this. This is all an attempt from the television industry to find something to get us back in the store.
Well, to tell you the truth, I think high dynamic range is, at first anyway, an attempt by the movie industry to get us back into the theaters.
Ah.
Because
are
nowadays,
we not going? No, wait a minute. No, though, aren't we still going to the movies?
Still going to the movies.
Are movie receipts up, aren't they? I thought they were.
Well, you know, I don't know the statistics on that, so I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
But I do know that amongst the AVS crowd, which is admittedly segment of the population that is not normal.
I didn't mention, but Scott's the editor-in-chief at the avsforum.com, and these are hardcore
home theater geeks. Yeah, absolutely. But they are not going to the theaters, typically, because they go, look, I've got a home theater. It's better than what I can get in the theater. I don't have sticky floors. I don't have to pay $10 for popcorn. The kid behind me isn't kicking my seat. Their people aren't texting on their phones.
I want both. When I'm going to, just want to see Ex Machina. And that's big science fiction movies, Interstellar. I want to see him in a theater.
Yeah.
And there is something to be said for a communal experience. I know sticky floor kids, popcorn.
I agree with
people
that.
People are not that, at least in Petaluma, maybe. They're not that rude. It's not so bad. It's kind of nice to see. And if it's a funny movie and everybody's laughing, there's something. But it's a mix because when I'm home and I'm watching The Good Wife, I want to see it at home. I don't need to go to a movie theater to see that.
No. That's true. And it's going to be a while before this thing, high dynamic range, you know, becomes ubiquitous. And I can talk about it till I'm blue in the face, but you have to see it to really appreciate it.
I'm not trying to throw cold water on you by any means, and I know many of our listeners really care, but I also feel like there's this kind of scramble to find Atmos and all of this stuff to make us go back to get excited about it. And I just if they made a movie that was really good, that would be a start.
You know, somebody in the chat room earlier today was saying, what's the theater equipment that you can get that'll make the plot better?
Yeah. Yeah. But if a movie's, Tomorrowland, you saw that, didn't you, this week?
I saw it in high dynamic range.
How was that?
The, The movie itself is pretty good. I enjoyed it. The story gets a little vague in spots, and some of the plot points are revealed late in the movie. But I saw it in high dynamic range, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
The blacks. I mean, you go to the movies now, at least I do, and you see a black or a dark scene, and it looks kind of gray and washed out. Here, you can the black goes to black, and to the point where you're going, is the projector still on?
Yeah.
And it makes the image just pop so beautifully. It was gorgeous. And it's in 2D, and it doesn't need to be in 3D.
Yeah.
It absolutely does not. That's another thing about high dynamic range is it gives the picture more dimensionality that you don't get with standard dynamic range.
I think that's where we got a little burned was people were feeling like, okay, that 3D thing was a flop.
Yeah.
Now what are they doing? But so so that's my question. You feel like when people go to a theater and they see a high dynamic range movie, and right now it's like 5 theaters in the country, but
4 theaters in the country. Yeah, there aren't very many.
At some point when you go next year, you'll know and you'll go, "Wow, this is really great." Will people notice that?
I believe so. I do believe so. I'm encouraging everybody to go find it if they can. There are 4 theaters in the country that have high dynamic range for Tomorrowland, and that's really something that I recommend.
Yeah, they're not near me, unfortunately.
No, there's none in the Bay Area. There's one in Hollywood. There's one in Kansas City, Missouri. There's one in Atlanta, Georgia, and one in Houston, Texas. Go to avsforum.com. Look for laser illuminated projectors. I have a master list of all the laser illuminated projectors in the country, including all of those with what's called Dolby Vision, which is this high dynamic range system.
Yeah. And you say this will be coming to TVs when?
Oh, probably not till next year.
Next year. And, of course, movies have to be shot this way or?
Yes.
Okay.
They will. And they are. The cameras these days have 14 stops of dynamic range, which is much more than current movie technology can display.
So the master, or whatever they call it, is actually better than you can display.
Correct.
So there's room there to make this better.
Yes, they have to dumb it down for TV and movies now. Tomorrowland is the first example, the world's first example of a movie that they didn't have to dumb down when it's played in one of these special theaters.
Scott Wilkinson, he's the S in AVS Forum. No, he's not. He should be. Editor-in-Chief, avsforum.com. And don't forget, Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. You can actually, if you can't watch live, you can always get it downloaded. twit.tv/HTG, the Home Theater Geeks podcast. Scott, we'll see you next week.
You betcha.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Now, finally, I will answer calls when we come back. Stay right here.
Zonk.
Zonk.
Web 1836, which HDR movie theater is in Hollywood? It's the El Capitan on Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood and Highland, actually. Right across the street from the TCL Chinese, which is an IMAX theater now. And it now has a laser projector, too. But it's not getting high dynamic range graded movies yet. And in fact, that's a topic of some research that I'm working on now to find out. They're not going to be able to accept a Dolby Vision high dynamic range master or DCP, digital cinema package, which is the file that they use to distribute the movie. So I'm trying to find out what type of HDR, high dynamic range system, they will be using, IMAX. But the Dolby Vision Theater in L.A. in Hollywood is the El Capitan, which I can't recommend as a theater. I'm really sorry to say. On the floor section, the orchestra section, the seats are not in a stadium configuration.
I hate that.
I do too. And so you have to look up at the screen. And so for Tomorrowland, I went and I sat in the first row of the balcony because I thought, well, okay, I'll be able to look straight at the screen. But in the first row of the balcony, there is so little leg room that I was like totally scrunched in. And the guy next to me had to leave in the middle of the movie because of a severe leg cramp. My God, it was amazing.
Oh, my God.
But when he left, I could move my legs off to the side and kind of stretch him out a little bit.
So, God, it's good he left. Could he get a cramp because you were kicking him?
No. I wasn't kicking him.
I have to say the previews look horrific for Tomorrowland. Like, it doesn't look good at all.
Well, I personally enjoyed it.
Good.
I had a good time.
And it's a visual extravaganza.
A visual feast. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's why you want to see that in the theater.
Yes.
And it's a family movie, right?
It is. It is.
So I'll bring the kids.
I don't think there was any problem with bringing kids to that movie.
No, I think it's intended to be. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a couple of robots get decapitated, but they're robots.
Big deal. Big deal. I think more robots should get decapitated.
Yeah, right.
No, it's what we call a family-friendly tent pole.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what they call it in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, like I said, the story can get a little vague. I'm still not 100% sure about a couple of things.
Well, one of the reviews I read, I guess it was in the Times, A.O. Scott, said, and of course, then at the end, they have this expositional narrative by a robot explain whatever, all the stuff you didn't know happened. Something like that? There was some a big expositional.
Well, the movie starts and ends with.
Hold on. We'll have to talk about that in a. Yeah, you'll stick around for the top?
You bet.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Now, finally, Heather Hammond, after all of that, it's time to answer some phone calls. I feel so guilty. I'm just going to just answer lots of phone calls. Now, from
just
now
go on. Right through them.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. So who isn't that a song? I feel like that's a song. Boom, boom, boom. Who should I talk to first?
Yeah, some time ago we were talking about Apple versus Samsung.
Yeah, way back at the beginning of the show, yeah.
And Alex in Sacramento has that good. Exact question.
Good. Hi, Alex. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And of course, he's not there. Oh, I didn't push the right button. Now he's there. Hi, Alex.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, Alex.
Before I answer my question,
yes.
Really quickly, just want to say, underappreciated how mellifluous Heather's voice is.
She's beautiful, isn't she? She's a beautiful human being on the radio. No.
All right.
No. That was mean. I didn't mean it. That's not what I meant. She's beautiful in person, too. And she's well-dressed, and I think that comes out in her voice.
Oh, it certainly does. I see it on the feed as well. But I actually have a follow-up after my main question. So, on wearables. So, I'm taking in all different types of directions.
Anything you got, I'll take.
All right. So, got a family of four that's looking to upgrade. We're on Galaxy S3 right now. Okay. We got it a few years back on contract.
Okay.
Looking to upgrade. My sister and I are looking to the iPhone. Now, the decision comes down there for me, battery life for her, user interface. For my mother, she wants an iPhone. And I just want to know, she's about 50, if you think the user interface would be good enough for her, if it'd be smoother than...
Yeah, don't fight the iPhone. I've learned my lesson. When I first met my wife, she was carrying a BlackBerry. Mm-hmm. So we had to take care of that. But this was many years ago. So I actually gave her a Motorola Droid, the first Droid. And she used it for about a week and then mysteriously lost it in a cab, which I took as a sign. We then got her an iPhone, and she's never switched back. If somebody wants an iPhone, I think it's fine. It's fine. In fact, you can make a strong case that it's the best way to go.
Okay. I was just asking just for my purposes, I just want to know what the big difference is.
She's had an S3 up to now. Is that the case they've all had?
Yeah. Yes.
So it's going to be a change because it's a new user interface, but it's a very simple user interface.
Okay.
So I don't think it's going to be challenging at all. Remember, the iPhone invented this multi-touch, right. Big glass screen. This was an iPhone invention. And really, everything Samsung's done, particularly in the early days, it was copying the iPhone. So they're not going to feel at sea. Okay. Unless there's some Android stuff that they use that they can't get somewhere else, but I think that's unlikely.
Not really. She really just wants to keep up with her sisters.
Yeah, I would get an iPhone. I think what you're going to get is, wow, why did you make me use that S3 for so long?
Yeah. So
I'm sorry to say, and I say that as an Android lover, and I really love my Galaxy S6. You should get a Galaxy S6.
So right. So I think for my mother, she'd appreciate the FaceTime. More than anything.
Yes.
She's in Sacramento. She's in Los Angeles.
Yes. Now, you can always use Skype, and I thought I was going to use Skype with my mom, but for some reason, FaceTime was so much easier for her
It just works on an iPhone. So I use FaceTime with her.
That was my feeling. For me, so here's my question, right? So I start my day, I intern at a lobbying firm and do some political work up here, but I start my day at 8 a.m., get it off the charger, and I'm done around 6. If it's a long day, 7, and I'm taking something like 50, 60 notifications. I know you've had both. I know you have the S6 and the iPhone.
Everything should go 10 hours. That's not hard.
Okay.
And in fact, my experience with the iPhone, by the way, is I have an iPhone 6, not even the 6 Plus. It handles the day easily, 18 hours easily.
Perfect.
So but now Lisa, my wife has a little bit of an issue, but she uses it maybe differently. You know, this is a problem with talking about battery life. It's very specific to how you use it.
So for mine, it would probably be emails, text, and maybe some web browsing if I'm on the move.
So what uses battery life the most is the screen. The more the screen is on, the more it's going to kill the battery life. But if you assume a couple of hours of on-screen time, the next biggest thing is the radios. And what really can – and this is where it gets very hard to predict. If you're in an area where there's a good solid cell phone signal, a good solid LTE signal, the phone doesn't have to hunt ever. You're not moving around a lot or you're in a strong signal area. You'll get better battery life than if you go somewhere where the signals are going up and down. The phone is always hunting for a signal. That kills battery fast. That can make a difference of hours on a battery. Do you move around a lot?
So I'm either in Sacramento or Los Angeles. And in downtown areas.
Yeah. And who's your carrier?
Sprint.
Yeah. Sprint. If Sprint's strong, you should be great. In areas where
Sprint's strong in LA and it's strong in the areas of Sacramento that I frequent.
Yeah. Good.
So.
Then that helps a lot, believe it or not. And that's a weird thing. And nobody ever talks about this, partly because it's hard to measure. Everybody's a little different in how they move around and where they are, their carrier, blah, blah, blah. But that does impact battery life. I would say an iPhone is a solid choice. The Galaxy S6, you've heard me say, is about 10 or 11 hours of battery life as I use it. That's not great. It means you have to charge it at night. Like you get home, but it uses quick charging. So I can literally get home, have dinner, charge it while I'm at dinner, and in an hour it's full again.
Well, so does the iPhone, right? And I'm getting continuity on with my Mac.
Right. iPhone does not have quick charging, although it charges fairly quickly. Quick charging is a Qualcomm feature. And you have to have either a Qualcomm or somehow Samsung's done this with their own chip.
Now, I'm going to try to squeeze in two follow-ups. This one's the more important, the more pressing one.
Okay.
Martian Watch. It's a wearable. Don't know if you've seen it.
Martian like Mars?
Yeah, like as in Mars, Martian watches. You could probably look it up right now on your computer.
I have a computer. It's smartwatch with voice, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, so I just wondered if you had seen it since I hadn't hear you mention
it. No, I haven't. I'll get one for review, stat.
And they apparently they're launching a line with Guess.
Yeah, look, it's an actual physical watch, right?
Yeah.
So it has hands, but then it has a little panel on it, it looks like, on the bottom where it actually has digital stuff.
Well, I was just looking at it because I like the way watches look, and that one just looked pretty as a watch. And I think it could do a couple of voice things here and there.
Is it cheap?
I don't know.
Let me buy now. I'm going to click the buy now button. I'm always a little suspicious of this. This always looks like, it's cheap. It's $129. So it's cheaper than most smart watches.
And the Guess model, I think, is running at $350.
Yeah.
And that's mainly designer markup. All right, last question.
Yes.
Now that I have you exploring that. So my girlfriend's going to need a phone. She's moving up here in August, but she's got a horrible phone right now. She's on Verizon, Kyocera. I don't know. It's
She needs a smartphone. That's a feature phone.
She has one of the. I guess they have a smartphone. I want to say that's what the brand is. She has a weird off-brand Android phone.
Oh, okay.
Smartphone.
Yeah, Kyocera. They make some Android phones. They're $50. So, they're cheap Android phones.
So right. So her mom got it when she wasn't around when they upgraded. So
it was cheap.
She was like, oh, great.
She probably got it for free.
Yeah, she did. Everyone else got an iPhone. She got that one.
Yeah, good deal.
So my question is, we need a stopgap between now and when they're up for
How long is that going to be?
About a year. About a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she would like a stopgap.
Now, remember, you're talking to somebody who changes phones every month. I change phones sometimes more often than my underwear. So
she's looking. She wants something with camera. I don't know if going back to an iPhone 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's not a bad choice.
Would be a good choice.
Yeah, and they're very inexpensive. Yeah, they're heavily subsidized because they're the old iPhone. I'd get a 5. I wouldn't go as far back as a 4, but get a 5.
Okay. Or if there were any other phones, because her two biggest things are battery life and camera. She loves taking photos.
Yeah, I think an older generation iPhone, which they still sell, they're still brand new, but they are very inexpensive, would be an excellent choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. I think you've made the decision for me.
Good.
Help me make the decision for my mother.
Yeah. Are you going to go with a Galaxy?
I think I'm going to end up going with the iPhone just because everyone I work with ends up having it.
This is why there's so many iPhones sold, is everybody else has one. Well, that must be that's the choice. The one wild card here, which
continuity features.
Continuity is cool. Yeah. If you're a Mac user, it really works quite nicely. And messages, if everybody's on messages, you don't want to be the green bubble. You want to be with the blue bubble crowd. Or
it's partly working. Yeah. Also,
be a blue bubble. Yeah, I think that's really the bottom line. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Me, I'm an iconoclast. I don't even know what that means, but I think I am one. And I'm going to go with a Galaxy S6 or maybe the LG G4 when that comes out soon. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Is it? I always get this wrong. The green bubble is Androids, and the blue bubble is the good people. Okay. I always get that wrong. You know, it's really bad. I switch back and forth between my iPhone and my Samsung, and it confuses the hell out of people because they'll use messages with me for a while because they get used to it, and then I suddenly can't see it.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Scott, all yours.
Thank you very much. Don't mean to interrupt there. Beatmaster is following up on a conversation that we've been having in the chat room that's kind of cool. It's a common conversation that I have these days, which is when you're shopping for a TV now, should you buy a UHD or a 4K TV or not? And generally speaking, I say if you've got a TV that's working, don't get a UHD TV. HD is just fine. I would wait until probably a year or two before the high dynamic range becomes standardized, worked out, and content starts coming in with it, which we will see on the Ultra HD Blu-ray. The specs have been finalized. It was announced two weeks ago. And so once we get Ultra HD Blu-rays that have high dynamic range content on them, you're going to want a high dynamic range capable Ultra HD TV. Until then, if you buy an HD TV, Ultra HD TV, UHD, it's not going to have the high dynamic range, and you're not going to be able to see that really significantly better picture. Beatmaster in the chat room is saying, can't a UHD TV be a very, very good full HD display? No reason not to buy a current UHD TV when you have to buy one today. And you're right, Beatmaster. If you have to buy one today and you have the money for it, you probably can't avoid buying a UHD TV. And I agree there isn't a strong reason not to, except that 2 years from now, you're going to go over to your friend's house who has a newer one and see that picture and go, wow, I don't see that picture in my house. So that's the reason not to. But if your HD TV is on the fritz, it's dead, dying, whatever, there may not be much option anymore. Most of the manufacturers are only making, not only, but their mid to high end TVs are all UHD. They have the 3840 pixels by 2160 pixels, four times as many pixels. And so, yes, and what they're going to get for the most part is HD content. You've got some streaming content from Netflix and others. You don't have any broadcasting yet or satellite yet. So 4K streaming is the only way you're going to get true 4K or Ultra HD content, and that only through the apps on the TV itself. So it has to be a smart TV. Otherwise, you're going to be seeing HD content upscaled to those extra pixels. Now, the upscalers in most first-tier TVs anyway, the Sonys, the Samsungs, and so on, those upscalers are pretty good. And upscaling from HD to Ultra HD is really pretty easy because it's a factor of 2 in the horizontal and 2 in the vertical. Exactly, perfectly. So upscaling is not as hard to do as it was to go from SD, standard definition, to high definition, which involved a more complicated number. So Beatmaster is correct that there really isn't any reason not to buy one today if you need it, if your TV is not working. But somebody else earlier, I forget who it was, wrote in the chat room that if my HD TV isn't dead, if it's still working fine, should I get a UHD TV? And I say, in that case, wait. It's just when you see a high dynamic range, it's hard to convince people until you see it. When you see it, you know it right away. There's no question whatsoever. So thank you, Bacon Strip, thinking that I had some good tips there. And Lumpy says, bought a low-price Vizio while waiting for Ultra HD standard to finalize. Good man. That's exactly right. That's what I recommend. If you need a new TV now and you care about image quality, I mean, we were talking on the show earlier about how, you know, a lot of people just don't care. It looks fine to them. And if that's the case, sure, get whatever. I'm talking to the people who, you know, sort of are looking carefully and want the best possible picture quality. And one approach that I like and often recommend is to buy a low-cost TV for now, and a Vizio is a great choice, and then wait a couple years when all of this dust settles, and it will, but it isn't yet, then go for a more expensive, higher-end Ultra HD TV with high dynamic range. The Vizio Reference Series, man, I can't wait to see that in the stores. It's going to look stupendous, phenomenal. So let's see. What else have we got here? Anybody else got a question for me? I am here and ready to answer. Chumley, good point. I just want a good screen. I'll handle the smart part. Generally speaking, that's what I recommend as well. You've got smarts in your Blu-ray player. You've got maybe a Roku box. Your game console probably has apps in it. However,
we'll have to remain for next week. Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, anything with a chip in it. 8888-ASK-LEO, the number 888-827-5536, toll free from U.S. and Canada. Outside those areas, you can also reach us via Skype. Just Skype to that number, 1-888-827-5536. We got a great website. Very proud of it. No hamburgers, but otherwise it's wonderful. It's techguylabs.com. And the nice part is everything we say, we talk about, every site I link to, every product I mention, it's all there. James DeRuvo is writing this all down like crazy. And then we add audio and video after the fact. Your comments are welcome, and this is all free. There's no sign up. Tech Guy, just remember that. That's all you have to remember, techguylabs.com. The phone number's there. A link to our great chat room is there. Very easy. Back to the phones, and it's Charlie on the line in Whitman, Massachusetts. Hi, Charlie.
Charlie, this is Leo. This
hey.
Is Charlie from Whitman, Mass.
Okay.
We've met before.
Okay.
In 2004 at CES.
Oh, what a, yeah. That
the
was
Ted Williams, the Ted Williams guy.
Oh, tell us what you do with the Ted Williams program. It's such a great idea.
Yeah, it's great. Now, my friend has a baseball. They come to the baseball park in Plymouth, and I asked him, you know, when I went to the game, how come? And there's announcers there, and they're on the internet. Let's set this up on a Bluetooth situation. Now. That's the question. How do I set up Bluetooth at the park for people to listen to on their smartphones.
Oh, you mean you want the radio, the audio from the play-by-play? I'm one of those people who goes to a ball game wearing the cap, all the buttons and pins on it. I got the headphones on so I can hear the announcers. I got the scorecard. I got the pencil. I'm that guy. I love that.
Exactly.
So and I like to listen to the radio because then they could tell you how to score it, whether that was an error. So Bluetooth won't work. It's only 30 feet.
Yep.
So what you really need to do, and it's not a hard thing to do, is set up a little micro power radio station.
Okay.
Actually, but you said they're radio broadcasters, so I guess you don't. They could just, so people could listen on the radio, right?
Yeah, this is they're going to be broadcast on the internet, but there's a
they're not broadcast on a terrestrial radio. They're on internet's broadcast.
Well, as far as I know, there's announcers at the game, and I said, how come they can't just transmit in Bluetooth as well as the internet?
Because Bluetooth won't do it. So they don't. They're not on the regular radio.
You can't plug a device into a laptop.
Are they on the regular radio? They're only on the internet. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I don't know.
You don't know where these guys, they're talking into microphones, but you don't know where it goes.
No, I don't know.
Bluetooth will not solve it. It goes 30 feet. So only people sitting within 30 feet of the broadcast booth will hear it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh.
And that's all I want.
So like you have a special zone, a Bluetooth zone, huh?
At the game, they listen to on Bluetooth. It's just live.
Yeah, but the stadium's bigger than 30 feet, right?
Well, the stadium is, I think it is a local game in your local town, and there's two announcers there, and they're listening to watching the game.
I'm just wondering, where is the stuff they're saying in the microphone going? Because if it's just on the radio, then just tell people, bring your radio. If it's on the internet, that's a little more complicated, although almost anybody with a smartphone could listen. And if you're saying Bluetooth, well, that means they have a smartphone. So
right, exactly.
I'm just saying that's probably a complicated way to do something much simpler because they already have a smartphone. But let me think. Okay. For an exercise in technology, that the announcers are sitting there, they're talking. They're making noises, they're flapping their lips and noises are coming out. They go into a microphone. If they are internet broadcasters, which we still don't know, then that means it's going to a computer. Can the computer transmit via Bluetooth? Yeah. So, no, it's not going to work because I'll tell you why. I'm thinking this through in my head, but nothing's happening. It's not going to work because I don't know of a Bluetooth transmitter that will handle that many pairings. The whole thing is not going to work. It would be so much easier to have a micro power transmitter or maybe just have people tune into the internet broadcast. Bluetooth is really not a broadcast technology. It's not designed from one to many. It's designed from one to one or maybe one to two, not from one to 100. So no, Bluetooth isn't going to work. Bluetooth isn't going to work. You're going to need some other transmission technology. Low power FM really would be very simple. A micro watt or a hundredth of a watt transmitter would cover the stadium. I guess if it's what if could you do it with Wi-Fi would be the question. That'd give you 150 feet. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to leave this one to our audience. Go to the website techguylabs.com. The announcers are sitting there moving their mouths. Announcers are going into microphones. We don't know where the microphones end up. What could that end up in that would allow everybody in the stadium to hear them? And this is important in real time because that's the big problem with an internet stream, right? I always have this problem when I'm listening. When you watch a baseball game on TV, you don't want to hear the TV announcers. You want to hear your local announcers. You've got to pause the TV exactly the right amount of time so that the audio will match up with the video, because the audio of streaming internet audio is at least 30 seconds usually delayed. What I do is I wait for the ball to hit the glove, and you hear a pow, and I pause the TV at the pow, and then I listen to the play-by-play on the radio. When I hear that, then I press play on the TV. It actually works pretty well. It's kind of kooky. Matthew in Vienna, Austria. I'm going to be there next month. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call, actually. You're going to be in Austria next month?
July. Not next month, but 2 months.
Oh,
yeah.
July.
Yeah, we're going on a river cruise down the Danube. You're on the Danube, and we're stopping in Vienna.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, look for a boat on the dock. That'll be me.
I will. Oh, so you're going to? So you're actually going to Bratislava then?
I'm not sure. We start in the in Holland. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, we start in Holland. We go down the Rhine to the Main to the Danube, and I think we end in Budapest.
Oh, okay.
But I'm told Vienna is on the trip.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week or 2 weeks ago to Johnny Jett, actually.
What should we see in Vienna? We should have a soccer tort.
Not only the soccer tort, but also the Imperial Chapel, perhaps.
Yes.
Schönbrunn Castle.
Nice. Is Mozart's house is there, isn't it?
Salzburg? Yes, but in reality, it's actually more. I mean, there is one house commemorated to him, but his real birth house or his birthplace is in Salzburg.
That's what I thought. It's in Salzburg. Yeah. Well, never mind. But I will have a soccer tort, and I will see the Imperial Chapel. That sounds very nice.
Very good.
What can I do for you?
I actually have a very pressing matter, which is why I'm calling, because I'm helpless. I'm writing my thesis currently in content management, and I have a Lenovo T410.
Yes.
Now, apart from the Superfish problem, which thanks to your show, I've resolved, I have the problem that it actually takes a very long time to boot up and to load the programs and save my document and everything.
Okay, hold on, Matthew, because I have to take a break.
Oh, okay.
But I will help you do that. I think there's something we can do for you in just a little bit. Thank you. Matthew, listening in Vienna, Austria. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Your English, Matthew, is superb. Are you studying? Are you studying English?
No, I was actually I worked in Canada 7 years ago.
I
went to an international school, so
yeah, it's almost unaccented. I thought for a minute this guy is obviously American, but no, it's then I heard when you said Sachertort, I thought, no, he's no American. No American could say it that well.
That's always that giveaway.
The Sachertort. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. We've been talking to Matthew. He's in Austria, in Vienna, graduate student, has a Lenovo laptop, the T410. Good choice for, I think, a graduate student. You're doing a lot of writing. That's that great ThinkPad keyboard that really is second to none.
It really is.
Yeah. And did it have Superfish? Yeah, it should. It's the best keyboard, I think, on a laptop. Did it have Superfish? Did you find it?
I found it and I deinstalled it.
Horrible. Horrible.
But actually, I found it after you told me. I was right when you told me when I was listening to your podcast. I powered it up, downloaded the program, and then it actually worked a little bit better. It found the Superfish and then deinstalled it.
So you were saying it's slow to boot, it's slow to run, and you know it's a little bit of an older system, and it is a little bit of a slower processor. But one thing that makes a huge difference in exactly boot up times, loading times, it makes it feel like a much faster computer is a solid state drive. You have a spinning drive in there. In fact, I think it's a small one.
Okay.
Yeah. So chat room saying it's not hard to get to the drive and pull it out and put a new one in. The only question is, will you benefit from the SSD? I think you will, but the amount of benefit depends on the bus, how it's connected.
Okay.
You can be on a slower SATA connection that is not, that the drive will be faster than the data bus. The data will come off the drive faster. It'll work, but it just means you won't see all of the speed benefit that you could see. If you have SATA 2 or SATA 3 in there, then it's a no-brainer. But this is a little bit older system, and I suspect probably its original SATA. Doesn't mean you won't see the speed improvement. You will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually runs Windows 7 on it.
Yeah.
Isn't there a command which I could type? I mean, I already tried msconfig, but it really did not do the trick. I just disabled some startup programs, and then it worked a little bit smoother, but it still takes too long for me to save my thesis.
Yeah. So if it's slower than it was when you got it, that's definitely, bit rot. And that happens with all Windows machines after a while. In fact, really all computers after a while. It wouldn't be a bad idea to start over, format the drive and reinstall. Make sure you back everything up first, obviously. And you'll have to do that if you put an SSD in anyway, right? Because the SSD is not going to have anything on it. Even on an older system like yours, it should benefit considerably from a solid-state drive. So you'll get two benefits. You'll get the benefit of restore. Did you get restore disks from the Lenovo?
No, unfortunately.
Did you make backup disks?
I made one with an external. It was an external SD drive, come to think of it.
All right, we'll see if that works still.
Okay.
Try to boot up from it. Don't yet erase everything, and make sure you've got a backup before you play with it. But if it boots up and it looks like you can install Windows, that's good. You do need that because you'll want to restore the system once you put the SSD in and then restore your data. You're not going to get...
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? You're putting a new hard drive in it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, uh-huh. So you have to start from scratch.
Okay.
I think, it's only a 250 gig drive right now. You're going to be able to put in a drive of comparable size for a couple of $100. You could even put a bigger drive in. And I think it's going to make it a lot better. The chat room's telling me they've looked at the specs, and it is a SATA 2 bus. You should see big improvement. Your thesis, how big is your thesis?
Well, actually, it's about 150 pages.
Yeah.
It's about the content management and the process behind Type 03, behind the CMS Type 03.
Oh, interesting. Wow. So are you a computer science major?
Sort of. It's actually content management.
Ah, it's like a library science degree, maybe.
Exactly.
It is. Okay. Yeah. Wow, 150 pages. Should load instantly. I mean, I'm not kidding. Unless you've got a lot of images in there, that should load with.
No. Just some graphs here and there.
Yeah.
But nothing really, eye-catchingly pictures or something.
You're going to spend some money because you're going to get not only this SSD, but you're going to need something to back up onto. Remember, when you take out the old drive, that you can continue to use it. You can get an external container for it, external drive box. And that would help because now you have a backup drive. You've got all your original data. You're really not at risk if you just take the drive out.
Okay.
So what you'll want to do, I still think it's good to have another backup, but if you're willing to I would at least back up your thesis. You're probably doing that like crazy, right? Back it up to the cloud, put it on Google Drive, whatever.
Two USB sticks and one external hard drive.
Yeah, put one on the cloud too because you don't want to take a chance.
Exactly.
You don't want to rewrite that thesis. But I have a friend who lost her master's thesis. Somebody accidentally.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Not a good experience. So make sure you make many copies of that. But then I think you could swap the drive out, use the restore USB drive that you made to restore the operating system onto that SSD. Now it's just like it came from the factory. You should notice already massive speed improvement. And then you can get an external drive to put your old drive into. It's just a box that you put your old drive into connected via USB.
Uh-huh.
You'll see all your stuff is still there. Copy over what you want. And you're good to go.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Good luck with when's your thesis due?
I actually have to hand it in middle of June, so I still have about
good.
2.5 weeks.
Good. And I'll take you out for a soccer tort and a little something. What is the drink of Vienna? What is the alcoholic beverage of choice?
Technically, it's a white spritz, But I would recommend for a Sachertort, you should go with a coffee.
A good Vienna coffee, the best.
Exactly.
I'm there. I will see you in July.
All right.
Hey, thank you so much. It's good to talk to you, Matthew. 8888 Ask Leo. If you want to talk to us, it's easy. And as Matthew did, you can just call us via Skype from anywhere in the world. That's nice. Eric is in Chino Hills, California. Hi, Eric.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hey there. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, so I had a question for you. My daughter's getting ready to go to college, and she has an iMac Mini now with a Thunderbolt monitor. Okay. And, you know, she's a little bit concerned about spending a lot of money on a, you know, Apple laptop because they're so expensive. And
that Mac Mini is, I mean, how old is it? That's a good computer. She's got it set up.
It's at home, and she wants to kind of leave it home because it has the big monitor.
I see.
She doesn't really want to bring the big monitor with her to school.
So because, she wants a laptop.
Yeah. So her concern is pros and cons as she goes to a PC based, you know, Windows based, I should say.
Why would she do that? Why? Oh, because she wants to save money.
Cheaper. Yeah, exactly.
The base model MacBook Air is, I think, $899, isn't it? Or not, I think.
Oh, yeah, so. Right around there. Yeah, exactly.
So that's a good choice. In fact, you go on Apple's site and look at the refurbs. You might even cut another couple of $100 off of it. You get what you pay for.
Yep. The other part of it is she does a lot of editing. She has the Final Cut Pro.
Oh man, yeah. Hang on, because I'm going to talk you off of this ledge. In just a second. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, man. The beautiful Hotel Sacher in Vienna. Oops. What is that? I don't want to see that. I want to see Mr. Sachertort himself, John Jett. In beautiful Westport, Connecticut. Hey, John.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm going to Vienna. You heard? Did you hear that part?
I sure did. Making me jealous, even though I was there 2 weeks ago.
It's so funny. I'm thinking already about how sad I'm going to be on the last day of the cruise.
You're going to be very sad.
I hate it.
Although, I was just looking at some of my deals, and one of them is actually for Uniworld. Oh. They're offering 7-night river cruises at 50% off.
Certain
cruise, not the one you're going on. That's a very popular one.
Yeah.
And it won't be on for the newer ships like you're going to be on. But yeah. I'm gonna send it out in my deals newsletter. But that's one of the deals. $14.49.
Jeez. Man. Now we're thinking Christmas. We want to go. What do you think of? We're going to bring the 12-year-old. So we want to go something that a kid would have a good time on. And okay. I've been looking at the big cruise lines. Is it Royal Caribbean? Is the one
Royal
with
Caribbean? You would like the brand new one, which is the Quantum of the Seas.
That's the one I want to go on. Yeah.
That's the most technological advanced.
It's also like 5,000 people. It's huge.
It's a monster. But I think you would like that. And I mean, for sure.
I think for the kid. Because there'll be lots of other kids. There's lots of activities.
Simulated skydiving they have.
Yeah. I prefer a smaller, more intimate environment.
Right. Well, but, I would say go on a Christmas market cruise, but the kid will not like that.
No. But there's a December 27th cruise out of Orlando. We thought we'd go to Disney World, spend a day at Disney World, get on the boat, go to the Caribbean. Kid will like it. I'll just have to put up with it.
Right. Well,
I don't want to do Disney. I think Disney's for younger kids. I don't think a 12-year-old would like Disney as much.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
You don't know anything about 12-year-olds.
No, although I'm all around them right now. I got my niece and nephew here. And I have...
They were hiding.
I have six kids who are under the age of... Well, there's four of them that are under like five. So if they come screaming in here... I have everyone on watch out right now. I'm saying make sure that these guys don't come in here screaming.
It's okay. That big old jet airliner's skying Johnny Jett to us. He's our travel guru, joins us every week. Talk about using technology to travel better. JohnnyJett.com. Where are you today, Johnny? You're traveling again, of course.
I am. I'm in Connecticut. I'm at my brother's house. And how's the internet working? It just seemed like it just cut out just now.
No, it's bit. Well, it might later. You know, sometimes it. But it looks so far looks good. I see you're. Are you in Westport? Because I see a big sign over your head.
I am. Sometimes that was not meant to be.
Sometimes we have to guess where Johnny is today. I guess today it's pretty obvious. Yeah.
That's right.
Welcome home. So you're with family on Memorial Day weekend. That's how everybody should be. That's awesome.
Yeah. My dad's outside. My sister's outside. My niece and nephews are all around.
I'm surprised you're not in Disneyland. This is today's the 60th anniversary of the opening of Disneyland.
I have a bunch of my friends are there. So yeah. Some of them spend 24 hours. One of my buddies, Spud Hilton, who's from San Francisco, the San Francisco Chronicles, 24 hours at Disneyland.
Wow. So are they letting people stay there overnight?
I guess so. I just saw some of his Instagrams.
Holy
He's
cow.
Like 5:30 in the morning. You know, I'm ready to go home.
There's only so many times you can take the Tom Sawyer River cruise before you just really right. say that's enough.
It's a small world would be in my head so bad right now that I would have to go home.
It gets a small world after
don't,
all.
Don't do it. It's a small one world. Time. One time gets my head going.
You go on that ride. For a week. And do they still have that ride? Because that's a very old-fashioned.
Yeah. No, they do.
I guess they couldn't get rid of it.
Last time I was there.
You can't get rid of it, right? They got rid of the Tiki Room. That made me mad.
I don't even remember the Tiki Room.
I have friends who have one of the bears from the Country Bear Jamboree in their living room. You come in the living room and goes, hello.
That is awesome. I would like that.
Hello. Well, hey, it's good to see you. Johnny, enough of that. Enough. Let's get serious. What do you got there?
I got a travel app for you of the week, and I got a travel website of the week.
Okay.
So the first one is Lux. Have you heard of Lux? L-U-X-E.
It sounds deluxe.
It is kind of deluxe.
What
so
is it?
If you're traveling or if you're in any major big city like Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, soon they're coming to Boston and Seattle, and you're driving a car and you can't find parking, this is like your own personal valet in these cities.
Wait a minute. You like drive up and they say, okay, we'll take your car and see you later?
Exactly. So, you download the apps. It's free on iOS and Google. And then about 10 minutes, you put in your destination. And about 10 minutes before you get there, they match you up with one of their valets. And they're wearing these bright blue jackets.
Oh, this is so smart. I almost broke up with my wife trying to park in San Francisco about a month ago.
It's actually cheaper. It's cheaper with these guys than the fine parking.
Tell you where to meet them? I mean, how does that work?
No, they go to where you're going. So they have, you know, they have the map like Uber where it shows you exactly where your car is. And so they know when to show up. And so you just tell them where you're going. You put it in the destination and then they'll be there. And then they will even go get your car. They'll go get your car washed if you want it. They'll fill it up with gas. They charge $5 an hour or $15 max for the day.
That's really cheap.
I mean, it's ridiculously cheap. Especially
why would anyone park this is insane.
It's brilliant, and I wish I was involved in it.
And they have a big insurance policy in case the Lux driver takes off.
I would think so. I would hope so.
Oh, I'm putting this on my phone right now. Now, it's not in every city, unfortunately.
No, it's only in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, and it's coming to Boston and Seattle soon.
Oh, parking is a nightmare in these cities. It really is, and it's very expensive. This is incredible.
I do not know how they make money. I mean, I guess they're going to
Well, they sell your car, right? They just strip it down for parts and you never see them again. But other than that,
yeah.
I'd almost rather do that than try to park at San Francisco, to be honest.
It's cheaper. I mean, some hotels in San Francisco charge $63 a day
night
to park.
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy. So I'm still like, my mind is boggling. This is like Uber for parking, basically.
Exactly. And better.
This is brilliant.
I can't wait to try it.
thank you, Internet. And you know, you mentioned Silver Car, which is a new but it's car rental. And it's, again, limited to airports. But we're going to L.A. Next month. And I already booked my Silver Car.
You're going to get a shiny silver A4.
It's the same thing. Like, they don't have a booth or anything.
They'll pick you up?
The valet says, hey, here's your car. See ya.
No, they should take you to their – they'll take you to their
– area. There's an area. They tell you on the app. They say, go to – get in the bus, drive one stop, get off,
and then they'll,
And then right. you'll look for a guy with his, you know.
I haven't done it in L.A. Well, since I live in L.A., but I, I've done it in Austin, and I love Silver Car. You'll love it. And I guess I'm going to see you in L.A. hopefully that day.
Yes. And we'll be driving an Audi A4. Look for us. So
I'll find you.
So this, the internet, what a concept. Unbelievable. LUXE.com.
That is.
I'm stunned. I never even heard of this.
I'm shocked because, you know, I think they launched in San Francisco, and it's, you know, I assume it's pretty big there.
This is going to save my marriage. Are you kidding? This is the best thing I've ever heard of.
Well, I check it out. Let me know how it goes. I just still don't know how they do it for $15 maximum a day.
Yeah, I don't even want to know how they do it. I don't want to even think about how they do it. I'm just going to, it's magical is how they magic.
It is.
Then you have a website for it. Not that I need any more, but do you have anything else?
I do. Here comes my brother.
Oh, he came back, huh?
Oh, yeah, he's back.
That's good.
It's going to get loud in here, so get ready.
Is he your older brother?
Yes, I only have one brother. I have two sisters.
Yeah, he gives you noogies, doesn't he? He comes over and, yeah. Johnny, are you doing the radio show, Johnny? What you doing? Oh, look at all the little rugrats you got around you,
they're
too.
They're all sneaking in. All right. Yeah, I got tons of rugrats.
Oh, they're cute. They're cute. That's nice. That's what you should be doing on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing.
You're
going
to have a barbecue and do all that stuff?
We are. So I guess I'm going to have to keep my website for next week since...
No, we got time. We got 153 seconds.
Okay, so Relay Rides. Have you heard of Relay Rides?
Relay Rides.
I also tweeted this to you, both websites.
Okay. I'm looking at it. What does it do?
So we talked about flight car once before, which is where, you know, at airports, you can drop off your car and they will rent your car for you. Well, this will do it for anywhere in the country except New York. They're in 2,100 cities, 300 airports. And so you can either rent a car from someone else. They're the middleman. They don't actually own any cars.
So I would say, I'm not going to drive my car today because I'm at work. I will rent it to somebody. Or maybe I'm going to be out of town for 3 weeks for a vacation.
And
take my car, please.
Exactly. And, you know, it's about 40% to 50% off the big-time car rental agencies like Hertz.
I get a Ford F-150 truck for $79 a day.
So they say renters can choose cars from an A3 to a Z4. 40% lower is what they say. But one of my buddies rented it in San Francisco. He said he had a 10-year-old Prius with 100,000 miles on it for 5 days, but the total was $120.
Yeah, which see? Yeah.
For San Francisco, it was a bargain.
That's great. And who cares if it's an old car? Then you don't feel bad when you bang it up a little.
That's right. So this is one way, you know, you can save some money when you travel. And they're in a lot of different cities. And so it's just not the airport.
Well, it says some airports. Relay.
They're in 300 plus airports, but they're also in 2,100 cities.
This is so great. This is so.
Except New York. So something.
Right. Well, the city of New York. Mayor de Blasio said, there will be no relay rides on my watch.
I think it might be the whole state, actually.
Yeah, it might be. Yes, that's right. Uber's had the same problem, right? Which you got these incumbents, people like the taxis, that say, not coming in here.
Right.
So who knows? Well, it could be.
But Uber is in New York. I took it from LaGuardia Airport two days ago.
I love Uber. This is great. You know, we're getting to the point where you don't need to own a car anymore. Really, right?
We're almost at that point.
Yeah. Johnny Jett. Go to johnnyjett.com. Sign up for his travel newsletter. He's got a really good deal on river cruises. Really good. Just going out right now. JohnnyJett.com. Follow him on the Twitter, on the Instagram. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, Johnny. We'll talk to you next
thank
week.
Thank you. Take care. You for having me on.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Wow. That was an awesome couple of things there.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked them.
Yeah.
There's my nephew and my niece and my wife.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK Leo. That's the number. Before we're Johnny Jett, we were talking to Eric. He's in Chino Hills, California. His daughter is going to college. Is it her first year?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Is she excited?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's real excited.
That's great. So she's going to leave the Mac Mini at home because she doesn't want that big setup. She wants a laptop. You know, moving to Windows is not hard. She's going to be able to move to Windows. But the issue I want to kind of bring up is, of course, you can get a $200, literally,
Windows 8 laptop, an HP Stream. They're
cheap.
They're cheap. cheap. They are cheap.
Well, that's the kind of the concern here, but she's got the editing program.
Well, Final Cut's not going to work on anything but a Mac, period.
Right. So that's kind of why I was telling her, you know, and that's going to be her minor is film.
Oh, she, yeah. I mean, I understand she doesn't want to spend the money. I really do. And really, the HP Stream is not a bad laptop. I've had it. It's not for its price. It's not bad at all. It's better than the old netbooks. But it's not going to be fast enough or capacious enough to edit. She's going to have to get a new program to edit, probably Adobe Premiere. That's going to cost more than the laptop.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. It's going to cost more than a Mac laptop. It's more than $1,000. So my suggestion, she's already got Final Cut. I would stick with the Mac. She's going to get an educational discount. She could get even more off if she goes to the refurbished store. Don't get refurb from anybody but the manufacturer. But when a manufacturer sells refurbished computers, what they're really saying is somebody bought this, opened the box, sent it back. We can't sell it as new because the law prohibits that. So we have to sell it as refurb, but that's a new computer. It's got the full warranty. As long as it's the current model, it's
okay.
And you're buying it from Apple, it's completely safe. So I bet you get down to $600-$700 for that, for the base model MacBook Air, which is a great student computer. Even editing is okay on it. No, she'll find that she's going to do most of her editing probably in the labs at school.
Right.
But, in fact, they may not even use Final Cut. She should prepare herself for that crazy notion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been listening to you talk about that Final Cut isn't really the industry standard anymore.
If she's comfortable with it, she knows timeline editing. She's going to be fine on anything. We moved our editors from Final Cut to Adobe Premiere on PCs because it's being maintained and it's more powerful now and blah, blah, blah. But our needs are different, and as a school, you probably should inquire. What does the school teach? I bet you anything they expect you to have a Mac. I really do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for the information. And
check with the school. Check with the school bookstore. See what price they offer. The student discount there may be better than the refurb discount.
Oh, okay. Great idea.
Yeah, shop around. But it's worth it. She should get a Mac. If she can afford it and she really wants to edit on a laptop, I hate to say it, but she should probably get a MacBook Pro. A few $100 more starting price. The 13-inch MacBook Pro is a great student laptop. The new one is great. $1,299, I think. What's the matter? Poor little dog. He spent, we got two kittens. So he had to sleep with the kittens last night. He's kind of angry. He's a little, He was exhausted. He was sleeping just curled up on the chair there. Jorge in Moreno Valley, California. Or is it George? Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Jorge.
Hi, Jorge.
How are you doing?
I'm well. What can I do for you?
What's the home security system do you recommend me?
I'm sorry, say again?
Home security cameras.
Ah. You know, I don't really have a strong recommendation. There are a lot of good choices out there. We, for a long time, used Dropcam. That's owned by Google now, Nest bought them. The Dropcams work by Wi-Fi. So you hook them up. They have a nice feature, which is for a monthly fee, and it's not a huge fee, they will take, they will store the video online. And you can go back in time. So instead of having, a lot of companies will have, in fact, we do this now. We have a DVR system. All the cameras are on all the time recording. We have a local recording where we can look on the internet. Dropcam eliminates that local recording, just uploads it to the internet where you can see it anytime on your phone or your computer from anywhere. They have motion detection. The camera quality is very good. The only negative on it is they use a lot of bandwidth because the quality is so good. But if you're not home, who cares?
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're competing with them. So Dropcam is very good. We just got a doorbell that does this too, that records the front door. It replaces our regular doorbell, has a camera on it. A couple of companies make these. This one's from a company called Ring. And I think they're a couple hundred bucks.
It records to the internet. You can talk to, you can see, even if you're at work, when the door, when a doorbell rings at home, it rings my phone and I can talk to, it's like I'm home. I can say, hey, what's going on? What do you want? I can't come to the door right now. I'm naked. And then you could talk to the person, but it'll also see motion and record it. So if all you need is your front door, maybe that's a good choice.
Now, I was thinking to put about 48 cameras.
Wow.
In a big house.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, it really depends how much you want to spend. The best is expensive. I mean, you can go out and get a security system that will do all sorts of things. We got, because it's a business, we have a fairly hefty security system that's got very good quality cameras. Every square inch of the building is monitored, and it's recording it all locally, but it's also available on the internet. But that cost, you know, I think it was $500 a camera. It was very expensive, plus the recording and all that stuff. You may not want to do all that. I think DropCam is a really great solution. It gives you almost all the functionality. In fact, I think some of the cameras we're using are still drop cams, but we wanted an internal monitoring system for various reasons.
Like the ones that Costco sell, do you recommend those?
Yeah. What brand are they selling? Is it Foscam? What are they selling?
Swan.
Swan. Yeah, it's a system that's been around for a long time. I would investigate how they connect and everything before you buy it. Read reviews online. I've never used them, so I don't know. I'm sure they're fine. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about those is they're kits. So it's everything you need, right?
Yeah.
And that makes it a lot easier. But I would look into what kind of connection to the internet you need. You know, really read up on what the requirements are, because, you know, they may have lots of wires coming off of them and
yeah,
all
a
that,
lot.
Right?
They do.
Yeah. And so I'd also check, this is important on anything, security. Foscam had a big problem. They've fixed it since, where there was a flaw in the software of the Foscam, and anybody could look and see your cameras, which would be quite embarrassing if you put one in the bedroom or the bathroom. So, in fact, there were websites, they're still up, I think, that because a lot of people didn't find out about this and didn't fix their Foscams. There's websites where you can go to where you can see just random strangers see into their house because they're using an insecure security system. So I don't know anything about Swan. I'm sure they're fine, but I would absolutely do some research before you buy anything. Type in, you know, secure. The problem is security means two different things in this context. It's a security camera, but is it secure? I would very much want to know. Before you start putting cameras up in the house, that especially cameras connected to the internet, that no one else can see them. The password system has to work well. All right. But I think nowadays, boy, there are cameras everywhere. Logitech does this. Marsworm saying they have a service and cameras. The Alert Web Mobile Commander. A lot of companies in this business. The ones we've used, the drop cams we like a lot, but I'm sure there are many other excellent choices. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte. The Tech Guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's my phone number. 888-827-5536. If you want to call and talk high tech, I'd love to talk to you. We also are on the internet at techguylabs.com. And a great chat room at irc.twit.tv. So many ways to play the home version of our game. Mike in Whitewater, California. You're next. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. I had a question. This year, I purchased a 65-inch 4K Samsung TV.
Nice. How do you like it?
I absolutely love it. The curve is exceptional. The picture quality is awesome. Now, I've got a PS3 and a PS4, which my 4 upscales the picture quality a little better.
Oh, interesting.
I'm wondering if you know of any... Now, I know there's not very much media out at all for 4K right now.
Right.
Do you know if they're coming out with any players in the future?
Yes. So later this year, you're going to start to see a new Blu-ray format for 4K. They call it UHD. So look for Blu-ray UHD.
Some streamers are already streaming 4K, including Netflix.
Yeah, I caught the Netflix stuff, which it seems like what they show at Best Buy with kind of the natural landscape backgrounds looks exceptional.
Yeah.
But like if I go on YouTube and somebody's got a GoPro here that records in 4K, the quality's not...
Well, they recorded House of Cards as an example, the Netflix original House of Cards, a Kevin Spacey show. They recorded it on RED cameras. These are 4K and even 5K cameras. The problem is, in order to get it to you, unless you have extraordinary bandwidth, they've got to compress the heck out of it. And compression kind of downgrades the quality of 4K. So your best bet, as with HD, frankly, is going to be physical media. And that's why Sony, when they shipped the first 4K sets, shipped it with a special player with a hard drive on it that was internet connected, would have 4K movies on it and periodically update itself with new 4K movies.
That's awesome.
It's expensive too. You're early. And I hate to say it, but there is going to be a 4K. Now, your TV will continue to work forever. It's not going to not work.
Yeah, I was kind of worried when I purchased it. I was making too fast of a decision, thinking back when the whole Sony and Microsoft deal came out with the HD DVD and the Blu-ray when the war was starting.
Yes, you remember that? Yes.
That I was going to purchase this TV and then it'd be in that jumble and something else would come out after it and I'd be lost.
I think you're safe in that regard. I think there's no chance of them making an incompatible standard. However, there is a standard that's a-coming around about this fall because it's related to the Blu-ray UHD. And whether your TV will fully support that standard is up in the air. It may and it may not. Now, Samsung's a big player in this, so it may well. What will be different is the color gamut, the number and how the colors are represented might be a little bit different. It's going to look great. You didn't make a mistake, but I am counseling people who are on the fence to wait until this sets come out that adhere to this standard, because you will get a slightly better picture that way.
Okay. And also, will a 4K HDMI cable, is that a real big difference maker, or am I just shilling out a bunch of money for
no.
a name?
Yeah. So there is a difference because there's new HDMI standards. There's, I can't remember, 1.3. And so you do want to get the latest HDMI standard, but you don't need to get one that's specially branded 4K, I don't think.
Okay.
The new HDMI, I don't know what the current HDMI standard is. The newest standard supports 4K. And what you really want is 4K at a high frame rate, 60 hertz or higher. So I don't know if labeling it 4K is their way of saying it's the new HDMI standard, or if it's a way of taking money out of your wallet. But
Best Buy, so you know they.
Yeah, you want the current version is 1.4A, and that supports 4K. So
you know
it may be that Best Buy says, well, if we put HDMI 1.4A on there, nobody's going to know that this is for Ultra HD. So just that's what you really need.
Ah,
Ultra HD.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. So truth is, an HDMI cable should be cheap because digital cables do not need to be expensive. There's no evidence at all that anything makes a digital cable better, at least over short runs. If you're running at 30 feet, then maybe buy a fancy one. But a normal, 3-meter cable, that's HDMI. Normal. Get it at monoprice.com. $10. And make sure it's 1.4A. That's the only key.
1.4A.
Yeah.
You're the man, Leo.
All right. Enjoy. I mean, there's a lot to be said for you got kind of the top of the line TV. So there's a lot to be said for that. That's going to look great in so many ways. And so many things make that great are going to stay great. I don't have a 4K TV. I have a 1080p HD TV OLED screen from Samsung, which I really like. When 4K becomes commonplace, as it will in a year or two, I guess I'll think about upgrading. But really, it's how well the colors are reproduced. There's so much that goes into what makes a TV good. I'm not sure if 4K is necessary. Although, I'm the one who's been saying, forget 3D. Go to 4K. Go to the higher resolution. Go to the higher frame rates. That's going to make a big difference. Movies are being shot that way. And if you've listened to the show over the last few weeks, Scott Wilkinson's a very, very bullish on this new HDR. By the way, your set should support that, I think.
I'll have to ask. We'll ask Scott when he's on next time. Jack in La Junta, California, Colorado. Okay, let me start over. Jack in La Junta, Colorado. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jack.
Hey, I had a question. We're trying to get our first data plan for cell phones, and I am a bit confused about the advertised 40-megabyte family plan and what that would mean for somebody that just did limited internet stuff.
Yeah, so given that you don't have a history, you know, most people, I say, look at your bill over the last year and look what your average use is, what your peak usage, and that'll give you some idea of how much data you're going to use. But you don't know. You've never done it. So rule of thumb, unless you're watching a lot of video, like you're watching Netflix or YouTube all the time, maybe streaming high-quality music, you know, 18 hours a day, you're probably not using more than, say, 3 or 4 gigabytes a month.
Okay, so Verizon is advertising, which is the only cell service that really works where we are, you get a 40-megabyte family plan. And I just didn't quite understand where they were going with
it's
that.
It's shared data, so that means you have 40 megabytes total for everybody in the family. How many people will be using it?
Probably 3 at the most.
You're great. You're golden. Maybe kids, we have trouble with our 12-year-old watches a lot of YouTube. So he can burn through 10 gigabytes a month. But that's still, you still have lots of headroom because mom and dad are probably not going to do more than 4 or 5. So 40 gigabytes for 3 people, I can't imagine you going through more than that.
Well, you're talking gigabytes, and I'm talking megabytes.
Oh, no, they're not talking megabytes, I promise you.
Well, I listened to it.
Read it carefully. It's got to be gigs because there's no 40 megabytes you'll use in a day.
That's what I was thinking because...
No, it's not. It's gigabytes. I don't know if it's 40 gigabytes, but if it... They would not advertise a 40-megabyte plan.
Well, maybe I just wasn't listening right. But
I would look. Go to the website and look.
I'll go do that.
Hey, yeah. Yeah. A lot of times people confuse megabytes, gigabytes, megabits, gigabits. So when they talk about throughput, like how fast it is, they talk about gigabits or megabits, not bytes. A byte, 8 bits to the byte, right? So bits are 1/8 as big. And when you talk about bandwidth, you're talking 15 megabits is a lot. 20 megabits is a lot. When you're talking about consumption, that's nothing. It's 15 megabytes, that's nothing. 40 megabytes is nothing. You want to get into the gigabyte range. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 ask. Leo is the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or New Jersey. Noah in Wyoming, Michigan. Hi, Noah.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
What can I do for you today?
I'm trying to connect my laptop to my router because I finally got my desk situated. So I now have room for my laptop and my desktop.
Woohoo!
And... I was plugging the Ethernet cable to the router and then into my computer, and the only thing I can't, it'll just keep defaulting back to Wi-Fi. Like, I don't know if Ethernet's not taking over.
Yeah, there are a couple of things you can solve. First of all, what kind of computer is it? Is it a Mac or a PC?
It's a PC.
Okay. On the Mac, you can order the network connection, so you can say, start with Ethernet, then if you don't get Ethernet, get Wi-Fi and so forth. On a PC, on Windows, I'm not sure if you can do that. I used to do it on, like, Windows 98. There used to be a way to prioritize connections. Maybe Alex, our Windows guru, knows. You can always, of course, just turn off Wi-Fi. But that may not
be. I tried that.
Well, it won't. It's if you did that, does it not go back to Ethernet?
It'll just have like not connected, no wireless.
Okay, so here's the issue: you got to make sure the Ethernet's working before you do a prioritization thing. Make sure that you check the cable. It sounds like you're not getting a connection.
Yeah, I have tracked the cable because I tried it in my TV and my Blu-ray player, and it worked in both of those.
Okay, that's a good sign. So now that means the cable's okay, the router's okay, so it must be the computer. So there are a couple of things to make sure. First of all, that you have a driver for the Ethernet adapter. I'm sure it's a motherboard-based adapter. So I would check to see you have updated motherboard drivers. Who makes the computer?
Dell.
Okay. Dell, you can go to Dell and you can make sure that you've got the appropriate drivers on there. If you go into the device manager, do you see an Ethernet port? Do you see an Ethernet adapter?
There's Ethernet on my computer, but when I go to the networks and sharing, I don't see. Because, like, it'll say...
So right click on my computer, select properties, go to the device manager, and you want to see if you actually see an Ethernet device. If you don't, you either need a driver or there's a physical problem. The Ethernet device might not be working.
Oh.
See what I'm saying? It's good, though. This is what we do. When we troubleshoot, we narrow down to what the, you know, possibilities. So you first thing, easiest thing to check the cable. Did it work? You did the right thing. You plugged it into something else. It worked. Cable works. You checked it. I presume you checked it with your router, so we know the router works. You've got an internet connection. You've got a hardwired internet connection. So now it's got to be the computer, and it can either be software or hardware. It is possible, absolutely, that the Ethernet port is broken. Like there's something wrong physically, but that's hard to fix. So let's make sure that the software is appropriate. So you look in your network connection, for instance, make sure the network interface isn't disabled. There's a checkbox that you can actually disable it. Make sure that's... Did you get the computer from somebody or is it yours and brand new?
No, I got it from somebody.
Yeah, so who knows what they did? Maybe they disabled the network interface.
I reinstalled Windows, so I...
That's not going to necessarily do it. So you got to make sure the hardware is working. It could be a very simple thing. It could be a problem with the TCP/IP stack. It could be physical hardware. So you got to troubleshoot now down into that. I'm not sure what steps that would be the best to take next. I would look at the device manager. I told you, but let's try again. Look at the device manager. Look at your Ethernet, your network interface connection. Make sure it's not the disable box is not checked. Make sure you've got the latest drivers from Dell. If none of that works, it's possible that you have a physical problem. Go to Dell, and Dell has a driver site where you can get the drivers for that particular computer. And you're going to get the motherboard drivers because it's on the motherboard. So you're going to get, and that'll be your sound card, that'll be your Ethernet, that'll be all of the stuff that plugs into your computer along with some other basic stuff. Make sure you've got the latest drivers there. And they have to work with their particular version of Windows as well. Marion from Santa Ana, California. Hi, Marion. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thank you for taking my call. I have 5 electronic devices that I need to get the information into a cloud because I filled up my iPad with a video of my dog working search and rescue. I filled up my tablet with videos of my upholstery class, so I don't want to lose any of these, and I need to use them when, as I come up to them. And so I need a cloud. I can put them all in, all 5 devices, my phone, my laptop, my desktop, and my,
Are they all Macintosh and iOS, or are they mixed?
Yes, they're all Mac. All Mac.
Well, so the easiest, of course, is to buy some iCloud storage. It may not be the cheapest, because iCloud is it's a little expensive. But certainly the easiest thing to do. And all of those devices have backup to iCloud. So now videos are going to be big, right?
Yeah, I know. I can't put anything in either machine. Let me take pictures.
Yeah, that happens all the time. If you've upgraded to the latest version of OS X, that's OS 10.10, OS 10, 10.10, you'll have a new photo app. iPhotos is being replaced by Photos. And Photos will help you with this problem automatically. If you turn on the iCloud storage on all your devices and on Photos, what Apple is – this is such a common problem that Apple has started to handle this automatically.
But you have to go into your iOS device and turn on iCloud storage, or I guess they call it iCloud Drive. What it then does is it puts, first of all, replaces all the, it copies all of the originals off of everything to your iCloud storage. That's why you need a lot. You know, you might need 100 gigabytes. I don't know. You'll have to see. You might need a terabyte. I don't know. But it'll copy it all up there. Then it puts size-appropriate versions on your tablet and your phone. Instead of putting the full high-quality video that you recorded, it'll just have a video that's appropriate for the screen size. That'll save you some space. But you will continue to maintain a full-quality copy on iCloud. And I would suggest checking the box. You probably have more storage on your desktop. Checking the box that says keep high-quality, full-quality versions on the desktop. Because you don't want just one copy ever. Even if it's on iCloud, you want a copy on iCloud and some copy locally of everything. But that'll say that what it'll do is you'll be amazed. It'll clear out lots of space on your tablet and your phone. That's what I would suggest doing, and that's probably the easiest for people who live 100% in the Apple ecosystem. That's why Apple makes it that way. They want to encourage everybody to just buy everything Apple. There are other ways, certainly other ways to do this. You can download it to your computer, back it up to an external hard drive, or get a Carbonite account. You could buy storage from Microsoft. They have OneDrive. Google has Google Drive. Lots of other places. But Apple stuff is set up to do it almost automatically with iCloud. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Tech Guy Show, Tech Guy Podcast today brought to you by Gazelle, GAZELLE.com, the place to go to sell and now buy your gadgets. Let's start with the sell part, because that's the part people probably feel pretty familiar with. This has been going on for some time, and we've recommended it, so much so that millions of people now have used Gazelle to sell their old iPads, iPhones. They even buy broken iPads and iPhones. Samsung, BlackBerry, HTC, LG, Motorola, Nokia phones, tablets from all the major manufacturers, as well as Apple, Amazon, Asus, Google, Microsoft. Yeah, you'll buy. They'll buy your Surface Pro, 2, 3, Samsung tablets as well. So you're going to get top dollar. What's great is when you go here and you get a quote for your old device, that quote is good for 30 days. So you have 30 days to decide, do I want to do this? 30 days to get the new device and transfer your data over, wipe your old data off. Once you're ready to sell, and by the way, might as well get everything in there. Go through those old gadget drawers and pull everything out. Get it all there. They'll send you a prepaid postage box so that you just pile it into that box. And they'll send you a check or a PayPal credit, or if you want an additional 5% over the quote, get the Amazon gift card. That's a good deal. So a really great place. They've over a million customers, $175 million paid out. Very happy people. But now you may wonder, what happens to that stuff that I sell to Gazelle? Well, the very best stuff they put aside and they sell in their Gazelle pre-owned device store. And these, now there's two qualities. You can get iPhones there, you can get cell phones there, you can get iPads there, and some of these prices are remarkable. There are two different conditions. Let's say I want a T-Mobile Galaxy S3. I can choose certified like new, which is basically like new, $229, or certified good. That's fully functional. There's just some slight signs of wear. They, of course, put it through a 30-point inspection. And you have a 30-day risk-free return policy, so you're never at risk. And you're going to get a great price on a used device. Great if you lose your phone or your kids break their phones. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Find out what your old phone is worth and maybe even buy a new one to replace that broken or lost one. Gazelle.com, G-A-Z. They even sell accessories, by the way, so check that for prices too. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo, the Gizwiz, our gadget guy coming up in about 15 minutes, Mr. Dick DiBartolo. Meanwhile, back to the phones.
we go. Allison is in Sherman Oaks, California. Hi, Allison.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I had a power outage in the area, and the internet, the TV, and the phone were out. I'm bundled with Time Warner Cable.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want a bundle, but AT&T made having a little phone line so expensive. So how can I break that up so if we do have a power outage like that, I don't lose everything?
Well, you're going to lose some things. You're not going to be able to watch TV if the power goes out. But what you do want is your phone to work, right?
Yes.
Because that's an emergency.
Yes.
And what if you needed to call 911? I mean, so this is something that the old phone company used to do. And one of the few things the old phone company did very well was they powered the phones. Remember those old black rubber Western Electric phones? They got their power from the phone company. So even if the power was out, you could pick it up and you'd get a dial tone and you could dial out. Unfortunately, as we've shifted away from the old phone company to newer systems, that capability is gone. So what usually happens when a cable company puts in, one of these triple play packages is they put a... They put a battery in your garage. So if the power goes out, there's some additional juice that it can draw from. I don't know if Time Warner did that when you got your phone.
I don't know. This is an apartment. So
I bet you. Well, I mean, actually be easier in an apartment for them to have a little bit of something that would power the whole apartment building. But when your power went out, did you have dial tone? Were you able to pick up the phone?
No. No.
Yeah, bad news. They didn't do that. And they're not required to do that, although they are required to tell you. But it would be in such fine print at the very bottom of the contract that you probably didn't notice it. So this is terrible.
Yeah.
This is terrible. And I don't think people are widely aware of it. You know, we did this with a cable company some years ago. They put in a battery, but they never checked it ever again. And those batteries last only a few years. I think that's probably very common as well. So I think a lot of people assume, as it used to happen, that even if the power went off, they'd have emergency phone service. That's not the case anymore. Not only does your television go out, your cable go out, your internet go out, and all of that, by the way, there's nothing you could do about it. They're not going to battery back up that stuff. But a phone is an emergency thing, and you need it. But they don't necessarily back it up. You could, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you could afford it, get California Lifeline service. It's very affordable. It's like $10 a month. It will be an old phone. You'll get a phone. I'm sure your apartment building still has phone jacks.
Yes.
You'll plug in a phone. I used to say go to Radio Shack. Can't say that anymore, but go to Best Buy or somewhere. Get a phone that doesn't plug into the power. That only plugs into that phone jack. And that phone should work with AT&T, with California Lifeline service, even when the power goes out. I did this for my mom. She lives in Rhode Island. Big storms come through. Power goes out fairly routinely. I said, Mom, you have to have an old-fashioned telephone. They call it POTS, plain old telephone service, because that's the only thing that will work when the power goes out.
Well, also during the Northridge quake, it was the only phone I could use as my landline.
Exactly. So we always say, have a transistor radio, have some water, food, have an emergency package. We're in earthquake country. You got to have all that stuff. And phone service, I think, is just as vital. Cell phone may still work. In some cases, the cell phones will work. They're battery powered. It's a question of whether the cell carrier survived and the cell tower survived. But I think landline phone service, we have let this go, and I don't think we did it with full knowledge. And in many cases, even, they will cut – you may find in your apartment complex, they've done something we call cut the copper. They may have actually cut the lines to the local phone company because they wanted you to use this service. And Verizon routinely does that when they put in a fiber installation to a home. If unless you stop them and you have the right to stop them, they'll cut the copper. They'll say, you don't need this anymore. You do. So
I
would.
I knew from the quake I wanted a landline, but as I said, AT&T was going to charge me $40, and that was on top.
Ask for Lifeline
and everything else.
Yeah, ask for Lifeline service.
It's specifically for this. It's a cheap emergency line. You won't want to ever make phone calls on it because it'll cost.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the power goes out or there's an earthquake, and then you have an emergency line, and that's so important. You know your family wants to reach you. You want to tell people you're okay. And if you get hurt, you want to be able to call for an ambulance. And you can't do any of that on these triple play packages unless they're battery backed up.
Okay, what about DSL Extreme?
Same problem.
It is.
Yeah, internet is not considered a lifeline service. It'll go out as soon as the power goes out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I will check on that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and I'm really glad you asked because this is a real issue. And you know, I immediately called my mom when she said she was going to do this, and I said, "Mom, you've got to have a landline phone." You know, I sent her a cell phone, and she said, "Oh, good, I can cancel the landline service." I said, "No, you can't. You can call them and say, I want the cheapest service you could possibly get. I want Lifeline." In California, anyway, they call it Lifeline service. Different public utility commissions have different requirements. But maybe that's a federal law. Maybe it's a national name. But you absolutely want that. Especially if you're older. If you live alone, you really need a way to call for help. I don't think that they pay enough attention to this. Frankly, when you get these new triple play packages. David in San Diego, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, this is Dave. How are you?
I'm great. Get a transistor radio, too, so you can listen to the tech guy show. What can I do for you, Dave?
Hi, Leo, I'm in the military, and I got a colleague of mine that recorded some really valuable training videos on his computer.
Mm-hmm.
He put them on an external hard drive.
Okay.
I put his external hard drive in my computer and basically parked the videos on my computer. Now, when I went to play them on my computer, I used VLC Media Player, and they would play with a 5-second skip, meaning, you know, it wasn't a seamless video. It looked like kind of like those old CCTV cameras. But then when we would look at the videos on his computer, they were fine. They were seamless, and about 8 videos were like that. So I'm just wondering kind of what happened.
Chances are the videos are okay, even on your computer. I'm sure they're high def, right?
They are, yep.
Yeah. So either your computer can't keep up. That's what will happen. It'll drop frames. It'll look like it's to be jumpy. There's a variety of reasons that could happen. Doesn't mean the files are corrupted. It's possible, but it's unlikely. If it's playing... Now, VLC is very lightweight. You pick the right player. That can usually play anything, whereas other players like Windows Media Player won't be able to play them. But if it's skipping, it may say, is it an older computer you're trying to play it back on?
So that was my initial concern was that the computer. So I tried it on a friend of mine who's got a brand new Lenovo Yoga 2 or something.
Yeah.
And same exact thing. So I brought it into the Geek Squad at Best Buy. And let them view kind of what was going on. They took the computer and the hard drive for about an hour and came back and said, "Hey, we really don't know what to tell you, but you do definitely have this skip on all your."
The question is the file okay, or is it a playback issue? Maybe the format he recorded it in or the quality he recorded in is too high. I would guess it's okay. It's a little concerning that you can't play it back on a variety of devices, but I would guess that it's okay. It's just, you know, sometimes we've gotten so casual about this. This is video's hard. Hey, by the way, on this Memorial Day, David, thank you for your service. We are so grateful to what you do for us in this country. To all of you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Believe it or not, I mean, we started shooting a high def. Hold on, David, don't go away yet because I could continue to talk to you even if we're off the air. I'm sorry, I had to break there. Oh, he's gone. Shoot. I was going to ask him what file format it is. What you should have if you're still listening, David, what you should have your friend do if he still has access to those files is re-encode them in a less demanding format. If you get Handbrake, I'm sure you've heard me talk about it. It's free. Handbrake.fr, Handbrake. Among its encoding options, it has a bit rate. And this is the one you care about. That's how many bits per second are required to play back the video. And dial that down.
So what happens is high-def video, we used to do a high-def podcast, 1080p podcast. We could barely edit it, and we couldn't really distribute it. It's a true 4K, you're going to have the same problem. So what happens now is we can record, make videos that are so dense that they aren't easily played back by typical computer hardware. But you can re-encode it, and your friend should do this. It'll still look great on a computer, but turn down the bit rate. Or make it 720p. I mean, you can play with the parameters so that what will happen is, first of all, is the file size will be much smaller. And that would be the, if I'd had time, or I could have, I would ask you the file size and the file format. File size will be much smaller, so it'll be much easier distributed, and it'll be able to play it back. So it's just turn down the bits required per second. I think that's probably all it is. It's really unusual. It wouldn't be likely that there was a that got damaged in transmit and you still could watch it. So it's almost certainly just the computer can't keep up. So make it 720p, for instance, instead of 1080p. Make sure it's MP4 format, MPEG-4 format. Turn down the bit rate. All of those things will make it easier to handle it. And it's probably not that it's a slow computer, but... it's funny. It's hard to tell whether a computer is going to be able to handle rich video because a lot of times what computers have is specialized hardware for playing back video. So you can get a, you know, like a Raspberry Pi can play back this video probably because it has AVC decoder built into the hardware. Things like that will make a difference. Did he say it was a Pentium 4? I didn't hear that. Yeah. Poof, that's a really old computer. Yeah, so there's a new format. Beatmaster is reminding me, HEVC. I don't know if HEVC is available in Handbrake. If it is, that's an interesting. That's the newest format that's going to be widely used, including for these UHD Blu-rays. And that format automatically changes the bit rate on the fly, which is really cool. FLV, you like FLV, huh? That's a flash video, isn't it? FLV. I think H.264 is what you want, or HEVs. FLV is a wrapper.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not the codec. That's the file format. The codec. Yeah, inside that, yeah. Same thing with UVerse. Unless the phone company is providing a landline service, a POTS service, UVerse is not POTS if you have UVerse phone. It's IP. Yeah, the Lenovo Yoga may not be able to do it either. If he said it was Pentium 4, yeah, I'm not surprised. Woo! Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Last few minutes of the tech guy program, and hee-haw. If it isn't Dick DiBartolo, Mads Maddest writer, and the Gizwiz joins us every week with a gadget or two. Hello, Dick.
How are you?
I'm well. How
and,
are you?
And some information, Leo.
Yes.
There are some existing working Radio Shacks. I walked by one the other day in the Village. Myra told me she walked by one in the Bronx. What happened was Sprint bought something like 450 Radio Shack stores. And so they're half Sprint and half Radio Shack. And I looked in, and they still had a lot of Radio Shack stuff around. So there are a few of them.
Yeah, in fact, you know, I think this company, was it Standard? Something like Standard?
Yes.
Is going to buy the rest of them. I don't know if they're going to keep all 4,000 stores open, but I do.
They're going to be all Twit merchandise malls. Oh, Lisa, I'm so sorry.
Actually, if you go to RadioShack.com, they have a big banner. It says Radio Shack is open and here to stay. They're down to 1,700 locations.
Oh, okay.
I was very sad that Radio Shack went under because
me too. You and I, we both went there. Mainly to buy batteries.
I love the battery club, yeah.
Mainly to buy cables.
Yeah. But every town needs a little geek haven where you can get this stuff. Because otherwise, what are you going to make? You have to mail order it, which I guess is what put them out of business. Anyway.
No, but you like to go in and play around.
Yeah. And I think you need this. Where else are you going to get your HDMI cables, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you got for us today?
So Scott Wilkinson's reviewed every kind of TV.
Yes.
But probably not the fake TV.
The fake TV?
The fake TV, okay. So there was a new fake TV at the hardware show.
Oh, good, because I hated that old fake TV.
The old fake was not very good.
So fakey.
Yeah, it was. So fake TV, actually, I think fake TV is kind of clever. So it's a little box with LEDs in it.
Yeah.
And the idea is it's the TV you turn on when you leave the house.
Ah.
And basically it's a burglar deterrent.
Oh.
It has a little built-in electric eye. You don't even have to turn it on. When dusk comes, it automatically goes on. You can set it to stay on for 4 to 7 hours. And these LEDs make it look like someone's watching television. They fade in and out. They go to black for a second, so it looks like a commercial is coming on. They come back up again. I used to have one on my houseboat, and they really look like someone's watching TV. So at the hardware show, the guy said, you know, we came out with a lower-priced one, fewer LEDs. Instead of being able to select 4 or 7 hours, it comes on at dusk and just stays on for 5 hours. But when I was looking on Amazon earlier, the cheap one is $25. And the one, the expensive one that is now 3 times brighter and has a lot more LEDs is only $31.
Oh, it's so much cheaper than a real TV. Yeah. And more entertaining.
Yes, and you don't need cable.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can hook cable to it, but it won't do a damn thing.
but the picture.
The picture.
Phenomenal picture.
Phenomenal.
What does it look like, actually, in your house? Is this like a box that's glowing?
It's a tiny little box, and it has LEDs on it.
Oh.
And it just sits facing a wall.
That's so funny.
So that it shines up on the wall. And makes it look like a picture. Yeah, it's clever. Very clever.
Anytime you hear Dick talk about a wacky gadget on this show, you can always go to his website, gizwiz.biz, gizwiz.biz, and I'll have notes there that you can see and get a link if you want to buy the new super bright fake TV. Do you put it up against the window?
Well, you know what? You can have it face a Venetian blind, or if your wall's a light, just face it toward a light wall.
Yeah,
Then
it'll fill the room.
So someone can see from the windows.
While you're there, play. Oh, thank you for adding a new screensavers button to your website.
You're
going to be on the show this afternoon, aren't
today.
You?
Today.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
He also has the What the Heck Is It game there, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. Gizwiz.biz. And don't forget, his Gizwiz show, which used to be on our podcast network, is now gone independent, but that means they need your help. Don't forget, you can support it, watch it at Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/gizwiz, and help keep that show alive and popping. Somebody's got to pay for their gadget
habit.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Or gizwiz.tv. Everything is there.
Oh, that's easier. Gizwiz.tv. Yeah. I'll start using that one.
Yeah. So is Twitch surviving okay without us?
Well, it's not easy. I got to tell you, it's a huge loss. I feel like you and David Letterman have both left the building, and I don't know what to do now. But thank you, Dick.
But I'm here for radio.
And we'll see you in a few minutes on the new screensavers. Thank you, Dick. Take care. Last call of the day.
Yeah.
Joe, is Zippo Light in Mexico?
Yeah. That sounds just... Yeah.
It's probably Zippolite. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Hi, Joe. Welcome.
I know I'm the last caller, so I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can. And thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was installing a VPN on an Asus netbook that I have. It's practically brand new on the advice of a friend, and I never take this kind of advice. So it worked okay. That was fine. It was Tunnel Bear. Can I mention that?
Tunnel Bear is awesome.
Yeah, well, at the same time, I got a great idea to find an open source VPN, and this is where all my problems began. It was Freeland. So all of a sudden, I got the icon on the task navigator line that shows internet, having it that it was all gray with the red X over it, but I had a great and good internet connectivity, even though it said I did not when I opened the icon. Then a short time thereafter, within minutes, I lost even that and got the little icon that shows a plug next to it with a red X instead of a white bar.
And this is why we tell people to use Tunnel Bear.
Yeah, so, I guess I think I messed it up.
No, you didn't mess it up. But here's the – so a VPN is a virtual private network. If I were in Zippo Lighter, New Mexico, I would be using it because you don't know – you know, you're on Wi-Fi. You don't know who's seeing what. You don't
– right.
You know, and then I would imagine you want to perhaps watch Netflix, but they don't support Netflix in Mexico. But if you look like you're coming from the United States, you can still watch your Netflix, things like that. Careful on terms of service. Yeah. So
you put a VPN, and that's by the way,
probably, did you uninstall Tunnel Bear before you tried this open source solution?
No.
So here's the thing. A VPN requires you have software on your computer, but also an endpoint. And in your case, the endpoint you might want to be in the United States. That means your traffic goes encrypted to that endpoint and then emerges on the public internet. And it looks like you're surfing from within the U.S. That's what Tunnel Bear does because they run those servers. Now, if you just download VPN software, you've probably set it up properly on your computer. But what are you connecting to? You need to find a VPN server somewhere out there that you can connect to. And that's probably what's going wrong here. The reason Tunnel Bear and other commercial services are easy to use is because they provide the server. You're just putting a client on your computer. People first became aware of VPN when they were doing it at work, right? That's how you would get into the work network safely. You'd VPN from your home to the office. It would validate you and make sure you're an employee, and now you have access to the office network. Well, it can be used also elsewhere, but you got to have an endpoint. You have to have a server to connect to. So most of the time, it's easiest to use a service that provides that server. If you have a computer at home in the States that you can put a VPN server on, you could do that, but that takes some expertise. I'd take it off, uninstall everything, reinstall Tunnel Bear, and say, lesson learned. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great geek week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.